The following program comes to you as part of the Africa Health Network, a service of the Voice of America to our audience throughout the African continent.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Linor Mudu, and welcome to Health Chat. Yesterday, March 24th, was World TB Day. Tuberculosis, commonly known as TB, is a bacterial infection that can spread through inhaling tiny droplets from the cough or sneezes of an infected person. It is most often found in the lungs, however, it can affect any part of the body, including the bones and nervous system. The World Health Organization says about 3 million people worldwide do not get the TB care they need and deserve. Observers say in South Africa, tuberculosis is the number one killer. Today we will look at what is being done in some communities, especially in South Africa, to fight the disease. Joining us via phone is Derek Esterhuizen, Provincial Manager of SANTA Western Cape. SANTA is the South African National Tuberculosis Association. Mr. Esterhuizen, welcome to the program.
Good evening. I'm most welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. And am I saying your name right?
My name is Derek Esterhuizen.
Esterhuizen. Okay, I tried my best.
All right.
Okay, Derek, we will speak with you in a moment. But first, let me remind our listeners, if you'd like to participate in the show with your questions or comments, you can call 202-619-3111. The U.S. country code is 1. And you can ask your international operator to reverse the charges. You can also email us your thoughts at healthchat@voanews.com or post them on facebook.com/healthchat. And we will have our discussion of the fight against tuberculosis with Derek Esterhuizen in a moment. I'm trying. But first, VOA's Carol Pearson gives us an overview of the state of tuberculosis. Take a listen.
Tuberculosis is an old disease that remains a global problem, even though the World Health Organization reports the death rate has dropped to nearly half of what it was 20 years ago. Dr. Anthony Fauci heads the Infectious Diseases Division at the U.S. National Institutes of Health.
One-third of the world's population is infected with tuberculosis latently. They're not sick, but they potentially could get sick because they have tuberculosis in them.
Most of those infected with TB live in developing countries, and people with HIV have a high risk of developing TB.
Each year, there are over 8 million new infections with tuberculosis whereby people become ill.
1,300,000 people died from TB last year. The medical aid group, Doctors Without Borders, warns that drug-resistant TB has become a global threat. Tuberculosis is caused by bacteria. It's spread by cough. In Chicago, Dr. Dean Schroffnagel treats about 200 TB patients a year. He spoke to VOA by Skype.
Treatment is prevention, because once you treat a single case, then that person is no longer able to spread it to anyone else.
The problem is the billions who don't know they have TB are not in treatment or stop taking their medicine. But despite this, both doctors say there's good news. First, Dr. Fauci.
Over the last 10 or so years, the number of cases and the number of deaths from tuberculosis has come down, mostly through public health measures.
We can't let up. We can't say, okay, we've made some progress. We don't need to do more.
That's because it's clear that if TB is not controlled early and drug-resistant strains spread, the world will face a much deadlier threat. Carol Pearson, VOA News.
And Derek, again, thank you so much for joining us. You've heard the report. Clearly, over 8 million new infection globally, according to the World Health Organization. Where does South Africa stand in this? How is a TB infection in the country in terms of the rate?
Well, I'm sad to say that, you know, South Africa is, in terms of per 100,000 of population, South Africa ranked third in the world. The worst country in Africa. And I think, you know, we're one of the most developed countries in Africa. And I think it's very disappointing that, you know, that we are so bad off.
So
I think one of the reasons for that is, you know, when HIV came onto the scene, all efforts and all funding went into fighting HIV and TB were totally neglected. All funds that were previously made available for the fight against tuberculosis were withdrawn, and the field was just left vacant, and all the funding went into HIV, and that was the cause not too long after that when we saw the coming about of MDR and eventually XDR TB.
Which multi-drug resistant TB and extremely...
Yes, XDR.
So you said that primarily, or at least one of the reasons, is the fact that funding has been shifted to HIV from TB. But we also know that the infection of HIV has somehow increased the incidence of TB. Do you then, first of all, tell us about how this has affected your work on the ground with regards to your patients and what you are doing?
Well, you know, first of all, we were out and out of Tuberculosis Association, only concerned with TB. And then, of course, you had the other people concerned only with HIV. And then you have, the split between people with HIV and people with TB, and then you had the people in the middle who were the co-infected people.
Mm-hmm.
And in the beginning, you know, we didn't worry with the HIV, and the HIV people didn't worry with the TB until we eventually discovered that, you know, this is something that we cannot fight one on its own. You need to look at both.
Yes.
Very important. And at the moment, about 75%, the co-infection rate is about 75%,
mm-hmm.
which is extremely high.
It is.
Yeah, so HIV has led to many, many people who were infected, actually becoming sick because of the lowering of the immune system.
Okay. We have a... Let me take a question from one of our listeners. He said, what is the difference between XDR-TB and MDR-TB?
Well, MDR-TB is usually, it is multi-drug resistant, but there is cure. Just takes a very long time.
Okay.
But XDR-TB is what they call extremely drug resistant, and there is no cure for that at the moment as yet.
So
extremely drug-resistant TB is almost like a death sentence.
So what, in many cases, what can lead to extremely drug-resistant TB?
Well, you normally you find people people on normal TB, if they default, it would then lead to drug resistance, which we, you know, call multi-drug, because for treatment of TB, it's not just one drug that you are given. You are given multiple drugs to make sure that, you know, one of them or two of them will make sure that the germs are being killed.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, when these medications that you were given, or call it the first line of treatment, if a person has defaulted, the drugs who haven't been killed in his body has built up resistance against those first line drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So if he becomes now sick again, then this medication will not work. So now they have to look at other medication, which is more expensive and not as effective as your first-line drug. So the treatment is something like about 24 months.
Okay.
So it's so much more expensive. Now, if a person who has been on this multi-drug-resistant TB, if a person then defaults again, then there is no other drug to cure.
Oh, okay.
And you see, that is where the extremely drug resistant come in.
So the key is...
What worries me is, you know, at the moment in South Africa, the government say that they've got TB under control. They're talking about normal TB. There seems to be a lowering in the rate of infections. or the number per 100,000 seems to be coming down.
Mm-hmm.
But the same cannot be said about MDR and XDR. Those seems to be on the increase.
Okay. So the key here is treatment. Once you default, then you expose yourself to XDR or MDR. So does it mean that someone who just follows its regimen normally, as it's supposed to do, will not have XDR or MDR TB eventually? Or is it a step that one infected with TB may have to be confronted with?
Well, the problem is, you know, once, say for instance, you get infected by somebody who's got MDR TB.
Okay.
If you, then you have in actual fact been infected with an MDR a germ. That means if your immune system dropped to below a certain level, you become sick with TB, then you have MDR TB.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So now let's talk about the situation in your region. You are the provincial manager of Center Western Cape. They say that Western Cape is one of the most affected areas in South Africa with TB. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes, the Western Cape is one of the heaviest infected provinces in South Africa. But you know, there's some little bit of some light in the end of the tunnel, and that is that there seems to be a decrease in the number of infections.
Okay.
And there also seems to be a decrease in the mortality rate in the Western Cape. So that is good news.
That's good news.
But you know, the fact that people are still becoming infected,
mm-hmm.
It will always be a problem.
Yes, indeed. It's preventing new infection. That is one of the challenges with TB and HIV, as it has been said by experts. And Derek Esterhuizen, we are going to take a short break to listen to a report by Jessica Berman. Don't go away. We will continue our discussion. And this
is... All right.
We'll be right back.
All right.
Experts say there's a narrow window for identifying and treating children with the disease. Unlike adults who carry the bacterium in a latent form for many years before becoming ill, public health officials say kids infected with TB can become sick very rapidly and may die before ever seeing a doctor. Part of the problem is tuberculosis is very difficult to diagnose in children, according to Mercedes Becerra, a professor of global health and social medicine at Harvard Medical School in Boston. Becerra says the conventional sputum test used to successfully diagnose TB in adults doesn't work very well in children. The test looks for the presence of bacteria in a sample of mucus coughed up by patients. But Becerra, a senior author of the report on kids and TB published in the journal The Lancet, says the sputum test is not sensitive enough to pick up the disease in all youngsters.
Children have less bacteria, and their disease is actually different than adults. Tuberculosis presents differently.
In children, Becerra says the TB bacteria often do not stay confined to the lungs. Often the disease spreads to other parts of the body, including the brain and bone marrow. Becerra and colleagues at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston first looked into the number of cases of multidrug-resistant TB in children. In the course of combing through regional and global estimates, they found around 1 million children overall developed TB in 2010, approximately double official estimates. Of these, researchers discovered more than 30,000 pediatric cases were drug-resistant. Because children usually become infected with tuberculosis through exposure to sick adults, Becerra says many cases of TB could be prevented by thoroughly screening those who come in contact with patients, including children. Otherwise, Becerra says failure to examine children is a missed opportunity to treat and prevent tuberculosis.
Every single child with TB is a warning signal that TB transmission is ongoing around that child and that children are not getting preventive therapy.
Becerra says most cases of tuberculosis occur in China, Russia, and India, but she says children are becoming infected with tuberculosis anywhere adults are sick with the disease. Jessica Berman, VOA News, Washington.
So, Derek, let me have your reaction to the report. Can you tell us about the incidence of TB among children in the community you oversee?
Well, in South Africa, we seem to be having the same problem. You know, to identify tuberculosis in a child is a very difficult problem. The only thing you can do is a skin test. Find out if a child is infected, and then to put that child immediately onto a prophylaxis treatment, which is, of course, an isoniazid treatment. X-rays on children doesn't seem to work too well, and, of course, sputum tests, like the lady just said, to get a sputum test from a child is very difficult and very ineffective.
Okay.
So what we do here in South Africa is to take a blood sample or skin test,
mm-hmm.
and that would normally show infection, and then, of course, we will do treatment accordingly. Centers work, in actual fact, is to do house visitations, inform people about tuberculosis, and, you know, where we discover that there's somebody with symptoms, to refer such a person to a clinic for testing, and if that person is found to be tested positive, then we will take all the children in that house to be tested.
Okay. Now, Fanta in Sierra Leone wants to know, how do you protect a child from being infected with TB in a house where an adult is infected? Are there some practical measures that perhaps you can share? Or what is the best approach?
You know, unfortunately, TB is found amongst the poorest of the poor. And these people, this is normally where you find where children living in a very crowded place,
mm-hmm.
Where ventilation is very poor, and also the nutrition is very poor. So this is what, you know, the only thing you can do is to take children and to put them on the treatment, or what they call prophylaxis treatment.
So, as a prevention measure?
The only prevention you can do is to inform people about TB, to tell them to open their doors and their windows, to let enough fresh air in, and children play outside and not to stay in the house.
Mm-hmm.
To get some enough fresh air, and then also to use Jik or whatever detergents they can use, normal household detergents, to use it even when they wash up their dishes and clean the toilets and use it on the tables as far as possible to stop infection. And we also teach the children and the people when they cough to use their elbow.
Okay.
To cough or sneeze in there to stop the spreading of the germ into the air.
Okay. So what would you say, who is the most vulnerable group when you look at the general infection in your community?
Who is the what group?
The most vulnerable group.
The most vulnerable?
Yeah.
Well, like I say, the most vulnerable people is usually your poorest of the poor people, because of the fact that, you know, nutrition is poor. They're living in crowded conditions.
Yes, but when you look at,
of course, also a lot of these people are illiterate.
Yes,
you know, you give them something to read, but they can't read.
Okay,
they can understand by showing them pictures.
Okay,
so this is, you know, that the communication is also seems to be a problem.
Okay. Now, would you? I guess my question was more related to gender or age. Do you have such a figure or such a picture in terms of women are more infected than men or children, or it's just it doesn't discriminate? Everyone is equally at risk.
Well, I think everyone is equally at risk, although it would appear that females seem to be more at risk or more apt to get, you know, the infection, become sick than the males. I don't know what I can't explain why, but unfortunately, that is, you know, what the statistics show.
Mm-hmm. Now, the South Africa commemorated World TB Day this year under the theme Finding, Treating and Curing TB in Hard-to-Reach Communities. And how does this translate in the work that you do in SANTA?
Well, we are totally dependent on donations. We work with people who are living in the communities. You know, in other words, we're working with the poorest of the poor people. They are our members. They are volunteers. They are prepared to do this work voluntarily. And this is, you know, mostly where we can give them something. You know, when we receive a donation, we will give them a little stipend. But unfortunately, we are financially strapped. So there's only a few areas where we can actually have paid paid. We call it DOTS workers. You know what DOTS means, directly observed treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something I think we should talk about. I think the policy prescribed by the World Health Organization is still DOTS, directly observed treatment.
Yes.
But I've discovered that in South Africa, they seem to move away from the DOTS system, where they now operate with what they call home-based carers. You know, like one-stop shops.
Yes.
Where one person, you know, is now responsible to go and look at all kinds of sicknesses of a person and not just specialize in tuberculosis. So now they deal with somebody who's bedridden and all that kind of things, and they don't really spend much time on the one who's on his feet. Not all TB people are bedridden.
Yes.
So now when they get to a place, to a house where there's a patient with TB, and the person is not there, they will just leave the tablet and move on to the next house. And most times those people don't take the tablets.
Yes. Okay.
Also, I find that clinics nowadays give it to the patients directly. They must help themselves. And not all of them, I think, is responsible enough to do that.
Okay.
So this is, I think, one of the reasons why we seem to have a problem with defaulting and that kind of thing.
Okay.
The old system of DOTS where SANTA people used to go and ensure that the person take the medication.
Yes.
That, I think, is still your best way.
Okay.
And because you know the person, that person is not there, you will go and find the person.
And you develop some kind of relationship with the person. Absolutely.
Not just with that person, but with that whole family.
That's correct.
You not only look at the sickness of TB, you also look at other little sicknesses. TB is something that comes from a low immune system.
Okay.
And if you look deeper into the thing, you find the reason for that, and you also will prevent it, I think, in other families. Or in the rest of the family.
Okay.
And the other thing is also very important is nutrition. Because without proper nutrition, the medication doesn't work properly.
Okay. And Derek, we have to take a short break for the news, and when we'll come back, we will conclude our discussion. So stick around. Thank you.
All right. Okay.
A new study estimates that every year 1 million children worldwide become infected with TB. The researchers at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston first looked into the number of cases of multidrug-resistant TB in children. In the course of combing through regional and global estimates, they found about 1 million children overall developed TB in 2010, approximately double official estimates. Of these, researchers discovered that more than 30,000 pediatric cases were drug-resistant. Health officials say an outbreak of hemorrhagic fever linked to the Ebola virus has killed nearly 60 people in the West African nation of Guinea. The outbreak has been centered in rural parts of southeastern Guinea. The World Health Organization reports 86 suspected Ebola cases in Guinea, 13 of which have been confirmed by lab results. Meanwhile, the Minister of Health in neighboring Liberia reports 5 suspected Ebola-related deaths. And finally, in a new report, the World Health Organization reports air pollution is now the world's largest single environmental health risk. The report finds 7 million people died from exposure to air pollution in 2012, more than double the number previously estimated in 2008. It says new data show people exposed to indoor and outdoor pollution die prematurely from cardiovascular diseases such as strokes and ischemic heart disease, as well as chronic pulmonary diseases and cancer. And that's a wrap-up of the latest health news.
Welcome back. For those of you joining us late, tonight we are discussing tuberculosis. Our guest is Derek Esterhausen, Provincial Manager of SANTA Western Cape, the South African National Tuberculosis Association. We have a question from John in Ghana. He wants to know, can a pregnant woman infect her child with tuberculosis? Derek?
Yeah, sorry. Can a pregnant woman infect a
Her newborn baby with tuberculosis?
Yes, I think it can be.
Okay.
Children has been born with tuberculosis.
Okay. So that can happen during pregnancy, the infection?
It can, yeah.
Okay. Now, Derek, how do we move forward when you look at the big picture in terms of addressing TB? We know that co-infection of HIV is very dangerous. We know that there is MDR-TB and XDR-TB that are making the fight even more difficult. If you were to look at some priorities, whether it's for your work on the ground in Western Cape or just the global fight against TB, what would you say should be the way forward?
Well, I personally think that awareness, creating awareness and creating, you know, not just doing it once off, but doing it on a regular basis in communities, in schools, in all public places, you know, it's very, very important. People should be able to go to a doctor and find out, but they should themselves suspect that I might have TB, because they must be aware of the symptoms, the signs that, you know, that could be, that must be known to them. So that if they have one or two of those symptoms, that they immediately will go and have themselves tested. You know, I find that so many doctors don't even know, you know, or suspect TB. I have my own personal doctor. When he heard that I work for SANTA, he asked me, how do you identify TB? When I discussed it with him, I said, but you should know these things. But he said to me, we've spent about one period in our studies about TB, and I've forgotten it a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So in certain areas, you know, it's very difficult for a person to be immediately diagnosed with TB, because this is the last thing that the doctor will think of, especially in your most upper-level societies.
Yeah.
In the lower-level societies, the poor, that is the first thing the doctor will look at, because he knows this is the common thing.
Yeah.
So, but once again, I think we at SANTA concentrate on spreading of information wherever we can, and we also concentrate on feeding people.
Okay, and Derek, nutrition, we're going to have to leave it there.
We believe that nutrition is one of the most key things. Because
if you don't feed him,
then it won't work.
Thank you so much, Derek. That's all the time we have, unfortunately. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It was a pleasure.
And thank you. Derek Esterhausen, Provincial Manager of SANTA Western Cape, the South African National Tuberculosis Association. For more on today's topic, log on to our website at voanews.com/healthchat. Also join us on facebook.com. And let's keep the conversation going. I'm your host, Lenore Mudo, in Washington, with producer Jackson Vunganyi. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.